This episode is brought to you by Entrust Data Card, now offering a webinar series on creating more secure online interactions with your citizens while broadening the range of services that you can offer using strong identity authentication and digital signing technologies. Learn more at entrustdatacard.com. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the AnvaCast. In a moment, we will play our recording with Lisa Dennis from the Democracy Fund. Wanted to let you all know that we did have some technical challenges in recording this episode, so some of the audio is not as clear as we normally have it in our AnvaCast, but this topic is so timely that we wanted to make sure we got this episode to you as quickly as possible. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AnvaCast. This week, we're going to be discussing a topic that's quite timely in what is going on, particularly in the U.S., which is as the U.S. prepares for elections in November. We are pleased to welcome to the conversation Lisa Dennis from the Democracy Fund. Lisa, welcome to your first appearance on the AnvaCast.
Thank you for having me, Ian. I'm very excited to be on the AnvaCast.
So it's very timely that we're chatting with you as the country prepares for a general election. And we want to talk a little bit about the role that motor vehicle agencies play in voter registration and what everybody might wanting to be thinking about going into the election. But before we jump into that, people may not be necessarily familiar with the Democracy Fund as an entity. So I'm wondering if you can maybe start us off just giving us a high level quick overview of what that organization is and the work that they're doing.
Sure, I'd be happy to, and thanks for asking. Democracy Fund, at its most basic, is what I would call a funder plus. It is primarily a philanthropy that gives grants to nonprofit organizations, as well as a philanthropic advisor, and also the plus is like it does some direct advocacy in areas where it feels like it is better positioned than some of the on-the-ground organizations that it funds. And in particular, Democracy Fund operates in three particular areas. The first is geared toward free and fair elections, and that's where our work with AMFA fits in, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, obviously, during the webcast. The second area is accountable governance, and the third is a vibrant and diverse public square. Democracy Fund has been an associate member of AMFA for a couple of years now because of the broad role that DMVs play in election administration.
So say a little bit more about that. Obviously, there's a lot of awareness and familiarity with the ability to register to vote when you are going to a DMV, when you're getting your driver's license. It's part of that transaction. But for folks beyond that, who their only insight is, well, I go to the DMV and that's where I can register to vote. Can you unpack that role of the DMV world and elections a little bit more for those that aren't as familiar?
Oh my gosh, Ian, I could probably talk about that for way longer than your AnvaCast. in any case, so it is true that DMVs play a huge role in voter registration. More citizens register to vote through the DMV as part of the voter process than any other voter registration mechanism, and that is around the country. But the DMV's role in election administration goes well beyond motor voter across the board. And that evolution has occurred in the last 30 or so years as a result of two different circumstances or phenomenon, one within the kind of AMFA universe and the other within, say, the election universe. The first piece, just within the kind of DMV world, has been about the evolution of DMVs into identity management agencies. And I'm sure I don't need to explain that to you or this audience. And also driver's licenses as de facto identity cards. And then alongside that evolution, what has also occurred is that various IT infrastructure has been created connecting DMVs and election offices in the wake of implementation of both the Motor Voter Law and subsequently the Help America Vote Act. And those connections between DMVs and state election administrators have kind of allowed the elections world to really rely on those DMV databases. And that that's manifested in a lot of different ways. So for example, it's not just Motor Voter that relies on DMVs for voter registration. In addition to that, I think pretty much all online voter registration systems, except for maybe one, but pretty much all online voter registration systems rely on grabbing data or signatures from DMV databases. Beyond that, the automatic voter registration systems that have arisen, which are more or less an expansion of the NVRA, again, all rely on DMV databases. ERIC, which is the Electronic Registration Information Center, I think that's what it stands for, and is mostly known for its ability to help election officials manage the accuracy of their voter registration lists, and I'll talk about that in a second. ERIC is also quite involved in trying to get people to register to vote, and again, relies on data matching between election officials and DMV databases. Pre-registration, where teenagers can register to vote before they turn 18, and it kind of like springs into effect on their 18th birthday. A lot of that, again, happens at the DMV. Beyond all those four or five types of voter registration, election administration relies on DMV databases for identity verification. So not just, you know, the majority of states that require ID in some sense for folks to vote, right? Like most people use driver's licenses, though it's not a requirement. That is the primary document that is used. And in addition, for everybody who doesn't register to vote, more or less, through Motor Voter, when their voter registration information comes into election officials' offices, the election officials' databases ping the DMV to verify the identity of the registrant. So again, taking place in pretty much every voter registration transaction, whether it's the voter registration itself or verifying the identity of the person. And then the final way in which DMVs have such a big role in election administration is in keeping those lists accurate. So again, going to Motor Voter, there's a requirement that anytime somebody updates their driver's license address, or of course, the address on a non-driver state ID, that should automatically update a voter registration address. Those two are supposed to be kept in sync. ERIC, again, which does most of its work on keeping voter registration lists accurate, again, matching those databases to keep lists accurate. So I hope that gets I feel like I'm getting a little bit in the weeds.
I think it's a great overview, and I know you recently wrote a blog kind of giving a little bit of a case study. I believe this is where it fits in on what Colorado has done to update some of those IT platforms that serve as the backbone for exactly that ecosystem, if you will, that you just talked about. Am I putting the right two things together? Can you talk about what Colorado did in that aspect?
Sure. The Colorado memo or publication. It was probably, gosh, it might be 6 months ago now, because I think it was at the beginning of the pandemic. And that was really detailing the collaboration and cooperative work between the Colorado Department of Revenue, where the DMV is housed, and the Colorado Secretary of State's office in making all sorts of improvement, from updating technology to modifying voter registration questions asked, to improve voter registration. And when you look at the data and you look at the outcome, I think it, the processes made things easier for the DMV and improved voter registration in Colorado. Interestingly, since that publication, and I reference this in the publication, Colorado has updated its voter registration system again and went from a what we call a front-end automatic voter registration system, which is basically very much like the traditional NVRA, where somebody says, instead of saying, would you like to register to vote today, at the time of the driver's license transaction or whatever it is, the person says, you will be registered unless you say no. And instead, folks who engage in the relevant DMV transactions are automatically registered to vote. The data just automatically goes to the Secretary of State's office, kind of taking the clerks out of the process and streamlining it. And then those customers get postcards in the mail saying, would you like to opt out, in case they're not interested. And I think what I'm hearing is that that has worked really well, because it streamlines the processes for everyone. So that, I think, is, you know, that's a little bit of what has happened in Colorado.
And has it happened other places? Do you expect it to happen other places? Kind of that automatic, and you have to opt out as opposed to opting in. Do you see that as a trend that will grow in more places?
So the trend, there is definitely a trend toward automatic voter registration. It is happening in different ways in different places. So, for example, in some places you have that move toward that front end system that I wrote about in Colorado. In other places, you have the kind of back end system that I also described for Colorado. I think even places that are not moving to automatic voter registration, and it's, I just want to take an aside, Ian, because within the elections world, the phrase automatic voter registration means different things to different people. Mm-hmm, so for me, when I am using that phrase, I am thinking of two particular aspects. The first is a shift to a presumption that a customer will get registered. So versus the traditional NVRA, a person gets registered only if they say yes. So here in automatic voter registration, it's like, you're going to be registered unless you say no, right? So there's that aspect. And also there's an increase in technology and streamlining, where data is electronically transferred. I think even for those states that are not necessarily moving to what I'll call the opt-out system, which I think is characteristic of automatic voter registration, you know certainly better than I do about the system modernizations happening throughout the various AMVA jurisdiction members, right, throughout the states. And there is a technology upgrade for the voter registration aspect as well. And that makes sense, because it makes the work much easier for the DMVs. It doesn't just benefit elections. It actually benefits everyone. And in fact, I've heard it called a win-win-win, right? You have a win for the DMV in streamlining, taking time out of that transaction. I've heard it described as a win from the elections folks, because they get the data more accurately, and also from the customer, because it's streamlined and an easier process.
So you mentioned earlier about how even when we start talking about the Colorado example, you started writing that before the pandemic and then you updated it. You brought up the pandemic. So I'm curious, what impacts are you seeing in this, whether it's voter registration overall or particularly in voter registration through the DMV? How have the changes of the pandemic environment impacted voter registration, especially again as we prepare for the November election?
It's a very good question. So the impact of the pandemic on voter registration has been enormous and not in a positive way. And that's for two different reasons. Obviously, with the pandemic, DMVs, like offices everywhere, shut down for some period of time. And so folks were not going in to have the normal transactions where voter registration is offered. And then, of course, even with the reopening, it's at a much reduced capacity and by appointment only. And so, especially when you take into account the fact that DMVs are where more Americans register to vote than any place else, it's had a huge impact. And we see voter registration numbers that are much, much, much lower than what we would expect, number one, for a presidential election year, but number two, for a presidential election that is expected to have historic turnout, or at least would have absent the pandemic. And then we also see lower voter registration, not just because of the pandemic's impact on the DMVs, but also because the other big mechanism for getting folks registered to vote, especially again before presidential elections, is what we call third-party voter registration. And that's, you know, different groups setting up outside supermarkets, knocking on doors, asking people, are you registered to vote where you live? If not, can I get you registered? And the pandemic has really limited that as well, because, you know, folks are not going to set up outside a supermarket. It's not safe.
Sure.
People are not going to access it. They're not going door to door. And so the numbers are way, way down. Mm.
So what advice, what tips might you have for DMVs, especially now that many of them are open again? They've found ways to safely open their doors and customers are coming back in for transactions that have to be done on person. And at the same time, driving more traffic to DMV websites to do transactions online. What might be some things that our DMV administrators can be thinking about, especially between this window of now up to that November election, to, you know, maybe help close some of that gap?
I'm glad you're asking me this. So first of all, this is going to depend a little bit state by state, because different states have different voter registration deadlines. Some as soon as, I think, October 6th is maybe 30 days before the election. And so that's only a week and a half away. So time is short. The second thing I want to say before I substantively respond to your question, Ian, is that before a DMV administrator does anything, he or she should make sure to clear it with the chief election official in his or her state, because the worst thing that could happen would be a failure of good intentions this close to the election. I think DMVs can play a really useful and helpful role, but I would not want any DMV administrator to get burned for lack of coordination with the state, with the chief election official in their state. So that said, I think there are a few things that can be done. The first is that, and I've heard about this actually from an election director in one of the states, DMVs that are making appointments and they're in person and they're kind of far out, right? I know certainly there's got to be some kind of backlog right now. That means that the person is not going to be asked about voter registration until they come into the office. So one thing a DMV administrator might be able to do is put into a process that when an individual is scheduling their appointments, that is past the voter registration deadline. Perhaps there could be an affirmative communication or some information along with that scheduling that says, here are the different ways you can register to vote, providing, for example, the online voter registration link, if there's some kind of by email, letting people know where else they can access voter registration applications, that kind of thing. And then even beyond that kind of communication in conjunction with scheduling of an appointment, DMV administrators could proactively push out information about how to register to vote. Right? And that could be based on, you know, existing communications about dislocation or, I don't know, it just in conjunction with other communications to customers. And mm-hmm. I say the issue about dislocation specifically because that would suggest change of address. And so then, of course, people would definitely need to update their voter registration as well. I think that I just saw something online. I think it was the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and I'm not sure exactly what's going on in Georgia, but the article gave an impression about the DMV there doing something to make sure people can register to vote. I also want to point out that North Carolina, pre-pandemic, worked with its State Board of Elections to include an online voter registration link on its web portal, really easily seen and accessible to anyone and not just folks who are engaging in a covered transaction. So to the extent DMV administrators can change their websites quickly to provide access to online voter registration, that can also help. I think one last item that might be helpful, and this is quite frankly beyond the scope of voter registration, but to the extent that DMVs now really are more like full partners in election administration, kind of like frontline partners. This could mm-hmm. be very helpful, again, if election officials think it's worthwhile. A lot of states are expecting a huge surge in absentee balloting, so using yes. mail ballots.
Sure.
And many states are offering online portals to request those absentee ballots, you know, to make an mm-hmm. absentee ballot application online. So to the extent a state is pushing out information about voter registration, the DMV administrator might also consider pushing out that online portal for an absentee ballot application. And I say that because although there are other ways to apply for absentee ballots, election officials tend to prefer that they come in online if they're offered online because they are much easier to process.
Now, you mentioned the increase in absentee and mail-in ballots. Certainly there's been a lot of news coverage about that likely to happen. You also mentioned earlier the other side of that coin, which is the role the DMV plays in identity verification. Is there an expectation that with that increased mail-in ballot volume that the elections boards are going to be then looking back to the DMV to do some sort of identity check on those mail ballots electronically or some other type of verification process?
It's an interesting question. You know, I have to be forthright that I'm definitely not in the weeds on the technology. However, I can tell you the way identity verification works for mail ballots. And that is, and again, as with everything with elections and truthfully with DMVs, things are very state by state, but generally speaking, identity verification will occur, number one, when somebody makes a request for an absentee ballot. There's a check to make sure that the applicant is in fact registered and registered at the address they're identifying. And ultimately, that either at that moment or in the past has pulled from DMV databases to verify that voter. I don't know that that means there's some kind of real-time identity verification in that moment, or whether I kind of assume it's already existing in the statewide voter registration database. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The other way mail-in ballots are verified has to do with signatures. And again, those signatures, generally speaking, are already in the statewide voter registration database, but originally most of them have come from the DMV. So I don't think it puts any extra load on DMV technology. But again, I'm not so in the weeds on the technology that I could say that definitively.
And I guess it really comes back to, with all these topics, what you mentioned earlier, which is if they're not already having a conversation, the Motor Vehicle Agency should be in a conversation with the Elections Board now to prepare for, you know, these final weeks and, you know, the time where mail-in or early voting is happening. And then, of course, on Election Day itself, so that folks are prepared and not caught off guard with anything that might come up.
Yes. And I would say that if they're not in conversation already, they should be in conversation as soon as possible, because while you and I are talking about the time until November 3rd, in some states, the time that's relevant is really only the next 10 days. It depends on the voter registration deadline. And so if DMV administrators can be helpful, they should get on it quickly. I actually want to just mention one other thing, Ian, that occurs to me. And that is, you know, I know that AMVA community includes law enforcement folks. And, you know, there are election crimes in most states, if not all of them, things like paying for votes, electioneering at the polls, you know, vandalism at polling places, intimidation at polling places, as occurred in Virginia recently. And again, I don't know the contours of law enforcement involvement for this specifically. And there is some challenging history there. However, law enforcement folks may also want to coordinate with their state election officials to see how they can be helpful on Election Day as well.
That's a great point. That's a great point, Lisa. Well, thank you. Unless there's any other big takeaways that you wanted to make sure was said and is out there, I want to give you the opportunity to do that.
You know what, Ian? There's actually, I think there are two more things.
Great. Go for it before we wrap up.
Okay.
Love to hear it.
The first thing is that, you know, we talked about what DMV administrators can do with respect to voter registration, you know, absentee ballot assistance, law enforcement. The other area that DMV administrators might want to think about is the capacity of their systems to handle surge in voter registration, especially with online voter registration. The federal government offers some free services to avail themselves of that. I can certainly provide that information to you. And then the other thing I just wanted to mention was that in addition to that Colorado case study we talked about, I also just issued another publication that goes into the detail and into the weeds on the evolution of DMVs into a bedrock of modern election administration. And I think your audience would find it very interesting. In addition, it really, you know, there are lots of mentions of AMVA in the publication. So I think you all will like it and find it a good read.
Well, that's great. Well, I look forward to receiving that, and we can certainly share that with many of our members.
Yes, and for those, I'm trying to remember which regional conferences I presented at in 2019, but the publication really is an expansion of those presentations I did at AMVA. So I should thank you all for helping me get out a publication.
It's our pleasure. We're all in this together. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for the work that you and the Democracy Fund are doing. We want to encourage everybody listening to make sure they participate in the process, regardless of what your role is or what your job is out there listening to this podcast. I think, Lisa, you would agree, we just want to encourage everybody, whether it's mail-in, absentee, early voting, or going to the polls on Election Day, to make sure they get out and make their voice heard.
Absolutely. Thanks,
Ken. Well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you all for tuning in for this AmvaCast. Want to thank our producer, Claire Jeffrey, and we will see you in the next episode. Stay well, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for AmvaCast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. This episode has been brought to you by Entrust Data Card. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.